Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. 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 Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to you for Wednesday, April 9th, 2014. Welcome to Metaphysical Universe. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, and I'm here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Good to be here.
Yes, we'd like to welcome everybody for joining us tonight. As our program has resumed now, and we're back on a weekly schedule, as our friends across the pond would say. We'll get to tonight's topic, which is a little bit about the church, where it's been, where it's at, where it's going, and that sort of thing. Some interesting nuggets, I think. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly radio program, we also operate the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, or metaphysicsinstitute.org, same thing. We also operate the International College of Humanistic Science. The Metaphysics Institute, you can get your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics and a variety of specializations at ICHS, that is the International College. You can get certified in things like spiritual counseling, life coaching, hypnosis, paranormal science. You can also take standalone courses. Most of our degree program courses are offered as standalone courses at ICHSworld.org. Before we get into our topic, we're going to do our profession of beliefs, as usual. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, number 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. We invoke and exert the counselor and guru within. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these 9 principles of belief, please visit mchschurch.org. So, we'd like to welcome those who are joining us to this live program tonight, as well as those who are listening to the archive in weeks to come. Glad you could take some time out and be with us tonight. If you have any questions, feel free to ask them in the chat room if you're, of course, a live listener. Tonight we're going to talk about MCHS Church, which is the short name for the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. We are just right at this point in time 4 years old. It was 4 years ago that I began organizing and preparing and launching the church. Our official incorporation date is May 1st. We're only a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks away from that. But it was right about this time, 4 years ago, that I finally decided that I was going to start a church. And
can I cut you off and just interrupt to ask a question?
Oh, please do. I love being interrupted. Go for it.
What made you want to start a church, of all things?
Well, interesting you should ask that.
I am really interested to ask that, really.
Stop reading my mind. All right. Actually, about 4 years ago, it was right about this time, I'd been threatening to start a church for years. You know, every time I drive by, the church row, you know, I think every town's got a street with a bunch of churches on it, and people are flocking to it. And I just thought, you know, they're not getting what they need. I was there once, you know. People who know me know that I spent 40 years in Christianity. They're not getting what they need to be successful in life. You know, their ears are tickled or whatever. And I just, you know, I could do better. You know, I've lived it. I've been through it. And so it was a rather interesting thing when I finally decided to start a church, metaphysical church now. And your question is, what made me do this, right? Is that,
well, it's a big undertaking. It's huge.
Well,
monumental.
It is huge. I wanted to do it because I want to leave the woodpile higher than I found it. I wanted to leave a lasting legacy of something that works. And I had everything. I mean, I looked at everything I'd been teaching and developing for decades, and I looked at it and I said, wow, it's all metaphysical in nature. And it was kind of a realization. It was really rather an epiphany that I realized, it like, you know, a brick struck me in the head, and I realized everything I'd been doing in the decades previous, I had been unknowingly preparing for this very moment, for that very moment, to do this, to not only start a church, but basically a big thing here is an educational program that could reach around the world. And the church was the vehicle, and the church was the way to do it. And that opened the way to being able to do a school and offer, you know, the degree program and offer all these things that had worked for me, that I'd learned this stuff. And it was hard, and it was costly, lots and lots of experience. So, you know, I was, you know, probably more surprised than anybody that I actually wanted to start a church because I had, you know, such a bad taste in my mouth over it.
Well, you know, Dick, if I can interrupt, I had threatened for many years to start my own church, too. for a lot of reasons. Number one is to be legal in my profession as a spiritual counselor for all my life and to do readings and such. I mean, it all fits, right? And with the legalities. I know we're going to talk about that tonight, but there's still got to be something in you that makes you go do it, because I never did. It just seemed so huge.
Well, but that's me. You know, one of my mottos in life is, how hard can it be?
Hard was it, actually?
Well, it wasn't. I don't know. It depends on. I don't know. How do I answer that? For me, it was not so much that it was hard as it just took time and took research and it took development. And took more time, and then some more time, and after that, I spent more time doing it. You know, I mean, there was a lot of research, a lot of things that you've got to learn and get to know. And
how did you develop your principles of belief? Because I know that that's an integral part of putting a church together, obviously.
Well, the principles of belief, they were actually written after I had started the church a few months. I can't remember. I'd have to look at my records, but I don't know if it was a month or two or three in that time. And I sat down to write. I like the number 9. It's a good number. And so it just sounds good, and I wanted 9 principles of belief. And when I sat down, like I usually do, and it's the same way I created the Life Leadership Paragon, which we'll get to in a moment, we already mentioned it in our profession of beliefs, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and self-completeness. It's like when I developed that, I like to reduce things down to the common denominator. I like to reduce them down so that they're not only simplified, but clarified. They're clear. They're understandable. They can't be reduced any further. And so when I looked at the principles of belief, I meditated on that and pondered that for some time, for days, and kept adding things, taking things away, taking words, rewording. But I knew that there were certain principles that had to be in there. For example, the very first one about do no harm, do right. That is literally one of the foundational cornerstones of this entire church and schools. Everything we do is based on do no harm, do right. So, you know, like we talked about last week, it's kind of interesting when people write to us or call us up and say, gee, how do I know you're not trying to scam us? Well, gosh, how can I prove to you I live? You know, I'm alive. You know, if you're not comfortable with it, then go somewhere else. It's the only way I know to prove to you that we're not out to get you. So, you know, go somewhere else if you feel better about it. So I knew that we had to have do no harm, do right. They're just good principles. And incidentally, I'd always lived by the do no harm thing, but the do right thing came as a result of me writing my courses for the school. And that started right away, and I spent a year and a half, about 80 hours a week, writing courses. And so the do right kind of completes the do no harm part of it.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, you established MCHS Church to be an educational institution. Is that correct?
Yes.
Like that was its whole point.
Yes. It's what it's all about. It's an educational work, because that's the problem with the world, is that we have these problems because people are not educated. When you get educated, your awareness increases, your vibrational level increases, your energy signature or your vibe changes. It becomes healthier. It becomes more positive. Education is what it's all about. I mean, that's all we've done all our lives. Think about the times we made mistakes. Maybe we made the same mistake several times. We made one mistake after another. When we finally learn those lessons, we change and we stop making the mistake. Therefore, our awareness is increased. We realize, oh, can't do that anymore. Look what happens when we do. So we don't want to do that anymore. So it's our awareness. That's what everything is about. It's what this program is about. It's what the school is about. It's what everything is about that we do, is education, because it raises awareness.
So you had mentioned earlier when you first started talking, Doug, that you drive by churches and you say they don't have it. They don't have what it takes to be successful. These people might argue with you because there's many successful, what they describe as successful,
well,
people
sure.
who are in religions.
Well, they are obviously successful, you know.
So are you talking about consciousness and the awareness that you're just describing, like that, to become more greater and again, in the development of your principles, belief, and the do no harm, do right. Is that what you're talking about, that kind of success in life skills? And
No. The church is obviously, I guess it's how you, like you just said, it's how you define success. What I was talking about is that, I mean, you look at the world. Religion's been here all along. Christianity's been here for 2,000 years. You know, Islam for not quite that long, but you know, it's been around. Other religions have been around a long, long time. But have they really made a better world? Well, you know, that's one of those controversial topics that could be debated. There's no question that religion has done some good. There's no question about that. The problem with that is whenever they teach that you are a sinner, that you are imperfect, that you need forgiveness, that you need redemption, that's doing harm, because it's based on mythological teachings that are not even original to the Bible. You know, so in essence, what I see when I see religions, they're doing harm, maybe it's unwittingly, but they're still doing harm. And I was part of a cult for 40 years. I was part of that. And it did not exactly teach you self-reliance. It didn't teach you to be successful. You know, there were things it did teach, good things, you know. But when you teach somebody that you've got to supplicate some higher power up in the sky to do something that he ought to do anyway, it doesn't make any sense to me. You know, it's like a father and a child. Well, you know, please, Dad, please, we're starving. We need some food. We need some clothing. We're dying of starvation. Won't you please help? Or, you know, help our sibling, your other child over here who's very sick and very ill, and you have to actually supplicate or pray to this being to do something that he ought to do anyway. It makes no sense to me. You know, and of course, that was one of the things that got me out of it, was that my, you know, the silence was deafening in answer to my own prayer. So
that's the distinction to make, though. What you're talking about, success, you're taking it globally and universally. You're talking about living in, a more correct way, that we are individually responsible and collectively responsible. Is that what
yes,
I'm
absolutely.
Kind of hearing?
Yes, we are
here?
Responsible. Yeah. That's what the principles of belief say. We are responsible for not only ourselves, we're responsible for our past, our present, and our future. We're responsible for this planet. We're responsible to do the right thing. We're responsible to treat people in a decent way. You know, we're responsible to do no harm and to do right. Now, does that mean that we're passive, that we just take it? No. It doesn't mean that, you know, somebody's crossing your boundaries or encroaching on those boundaries, that you can't stick up for yourself. That's certainly true. You can. You should. But we have a responsibility to life, to the life on this planet, to each other.
So is that how you came up with the word humanistic as part of the church name?
Humanistic is, yes, and that's a good question. I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to talk about because this is something that's going to be new. Excuse me one sec. Pardon me for my allergies. I'm having a pollen count side tonight, and it's killing me. Anyway, but this is something that I'm going to announce too. That's new. That's something that we're going to call ourselves. I've always been since I was no longer a Christian, I've always been intrigued with humanism, and you know, secular humanism, and I, you know, it's all good stuff. I mean, it seemed right. The only problem that I have with secular humanism is that they are materialistic. Now, materialistic does not mean what most people think it means, that, oh, you know, you're materialistic. You want all kinds of material things in your life. That's not what materialism is in a sense. Materialism simply means that, and this is true of most of the scientific community, that this is it. You know, your brain is your brain. Your mind is in your brain. There's nothing after this, you know, this life. When you die, you're dead. You're in a state of non-existence. That's it. That's materialism. Idealism is basically that everything you see is a result of conscious thoughts and creation. It's basically created in the mind. Dualism is the belief that there is both a physical aspect to us and a spiritual aspect to us, and that's what we are, dualists. And so, please forgive me, Vicki, help me out. I lost my train of thought.
Probably the allergy. Just understanding the humanism.
Okay, the humanism. So humanism, materialists do not believe in any kind of paranormal, any kind of afterlife, any kind of that stuff. And that's the only thing that bothers me about humanism, is because they reject it out of hand, just like, you know, scientism, the religion of scientism. All that's not true. Ghosts don't exist. You know, aliens don't exist. You're just crazy. You're a whack job. You know, sass who? Sasquatch. You know, it's and so when I looked at this, I thought, well, gee, religion and science are two sides of the same coin. They're just at opposite ends. And so that's not right. And we need balance. We need to really look and be open-minded, just not so open-minded that our brains fall out, but we need to at least look at things with an open mind to see what there is. And that's metaphysical, which is the study of consciousness and existence. And I've been around the block too many times with paranormal investigations to know that there's something going on. You know, same thing with UFO investigations, abductions, and something's going on. Now, 95% of those cases can be explained one way or another, but there's that small fraction that you just are not so easily explained. And so something is obviously going on. What exactly it is, I don't know yet, but something is. So therefore, we can't dismiss it out of hand. So I knew that secular humanism wasn't the way. However, I believe in the power of the human spirit. And so humanistic means, you know, relating to human. It's relating to the human condition. So when I named the church Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, it means science about us. It's the science of the human being. It's designed to explore and empower the human spirit. And so all this time, you know, I mean, the church develops. The school is going along well. We have hundreds of students around the world, and it's changing lives. Now the church, it's time to further develop more with the church, and that's what this program is about tonight. What are we doing with the church? Where is it going? And it may not be the most interesting topic of all the ones we've ever had, but it's an important topic because this weekly radio program is our church services. It's the equivalent of going to church on Sunday. It's something that we have to do to as part of our educational process. So the other day, it dawned on me that what we teach is not secular humanism. There are many similarities to secular humanism, but it's not secular humanism. What is it? It's metaphysical humanism, and I like that term. And so, therefore, members of MCHS Church are metaphysical humanists. It's similar, but there are certainly differences because we do believe that consciousness lives on past death of the physical body. Do you have any other brainy questions there? Do you want me to...
No, you know, I'm fascinated. Of course, I've been on this ride with IMHS and MCHS now for exactly 3 years coming up. You know, it's very interesting that May 1st was, you know,
the official
4 years ago.
Incorporation date.
Yeah. And it was the May 1st the following year that I signed on with the school after having received an ordination and going through the ethics course. And, you know, this is no joke. You got to pass a test, folks. You know, make a promise. And it just felt, it resonated with me. So having... You know, there are lots of things that, even though I've been around for a while, Doug, that I still don't know about you. And I still don't know about the development, and it still fascinates me.
We'll have to talk about that sometime, huh?
Yeah, you know, I mean, but it fascinates me that this journey that you have been on, giving birth to this vehicle, this venue, and now having been around for 3 years, watching it emerge and grow, and yourself changing, certainly
yeah,
I'm changing.
And I've changed, yeah. Well,
and all the members and people that we come in contact with, because interacting with people, it affects all of us, right? I mean, this is not only is there students and teachers, but the teachers are the students, literally. And it's so watching this emergence, so to speak, that brings us to today. So that's what I was just thinking about, Doug, when there was a pause. So,
And I'll talk more about that, too. I just wanted to mention that, you know, as of today, we have 463 members of MCHS. Now, these are associate members, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. But to go back to the beginning a little bit, excuse me one sec.
Well, it's very fascinating to watch, again, the step-by-step-by-step evolution. And it almost, MCHS almost is its own entity in a way.
Yeah, well, it is.
There's somebody at the driver's seat, and of course
Definitely.
That's you. But it takes on a life of its own, and you permit that. And that's what I'm respectful of in what you've done with MCHS, that you allow contributions, ideas,
Definitely.
Suggestions, and you let it breathe.
It's not just about me. It's about us making the world better. And let's go back down to when I realized I need to do this. This is what I needed to do. And I hadn't even had the epiphany at this point when I decided to start the church and the school. All I knew, I've always been a teacher. I've always been that, always been a teacher. And I've done good at it all my life. And so I knew I needed to do this, and I knew I needed to take the techniques, the concepts, the models I'd been developing for years, and I needed to get those out. So I built the entire school around the life leadership paragon, which I'd mentioned earlier. But as I began to develop the church, you know, and what am I going to name it? I wrote a list of a couple of dozen different variations and names, including did the same thing for the school, and finally decided on this one, MCHS, you know, Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. You know, it could be a mouthful, but it says what it is. MCHS Church for short. And, you know, why did I choose the word church? Because, I didn't want any part of any church. And that's why people who knew me about fell off their chair. You did what? You started a church and you named it. You put church in the name. Are you crazy? That's, what happened to, what happened to Doug? Some invasion of the body snatchers or something. But the reason I put church in the name is not only for legalities. I wanted there to be no question that this was a church, a ministry, a religion in its own right. But I also did it so that it didn't distance the people that I hoped to attract. Now it's interesting because a lot of the people that I'm attracting are attracted despite the word church in the name. It's funny, but once I get to know who we are and what we're doing and why, it makes sense. So I had this epiphany. We've all heard that there's a calling. People have a calling to do a thing or two. Well, I may have had a calling or two in my life, but when it finally hit me after I started developing all this and started realizing where it was going and what was happening with it and how it was coming together, I couldn't believe it myself. I thought, wow, it was like the blinders fell off. This is what I've been doing all this stuff for. Now, does that mean that somebody else had a higher purpose for me? No, it means that my higher self, I had a plan, just didn't know about it until now. And I was 51 when I started this church and just turned 55. So it was a calling, and it still is a calling. It still is what I need to be doing. So that's a little bit on the beginnings. So now, where is metaphysical humanism going to go? Well, so far we've been, we've had the website up and people can join the forum, join as associate members. The basic plan right now, and we're growing gradually and slowly, but yet surely, we're growing at a nice pace and not too fast, but not too slow. But where we're going with this is that eventually at some point, and I can't be certain when, but probably in the coming months or year or so, we're going to open it up to full membership. And full members are going to have to study to be a member of MCHS. They're going to have to study what I call the Enchiridion. Enchiridion is just a word that means handbook. And I am currently working on that. It's not going to be this long, drawn-out thing like the Bible or anything. It's going to be a handbook of our beliefs, good nuggets, good points, things that will help change lives, good principles. And students who are going through the IMHS degree program are studying all this stuff already. So it's not, MCHS is characterized by tolerance. It's, we have our beliefs, we have our nine principles of belief. I also am working on what I call sacred obligations. We're working on cosmic laws. These are, create our belief structure. But we're open. People don't have to stop doing a whole bunch of stuff. It's basically about empowering the human spirit. So full members will study this for a period of time, a shorter period of time. And then, if they want to be full members, then that's what it will be. And there will be donations. There will be contributions. Here's the deal. Nobody likes to talk about donations and contributions and money. And frankly, I don't either. But here's an unfortunate fact of the world that I live in. If MCHS is going to do anything, is going to do any good in this world, it takes money and resources. And unfortunately, I was not born wealthy. I am not wealthy. And I haven't won the lottery yet. But if I do, hey, problem solved. So we have to get people who identify with this, who share the vision and want to help support this, because we want to teach the life leadership paragon to people around the world at near free. And so we need students, graduates to do that. We need an infrastructure to carry on that educational work, because when people understand what it means, what self-acceptance means, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and when they learn to become complete within themselves and not, quote, need, unquote, anybody else to complete them, then the world opens up. You know, some people wonder, gee, are you a cult? No, I'm a terrible cult leader, folks, because I'm trying to teach you everything you know so that you don't need me. And that is absolutely opposite of what the cult leaders do. They make you dependent on them. I'm trying to make you dependent on you. That's why we teach principles like do no harm, do right, don't try to control people, don't give unsolicited advice. We've talked about this stuff several times in the archives on this program. So that's some of what we got in mind. We want a global educational work to teach people practical life skills. I mean, can you imagine? We have students in Africa. We have students in Malaysia and Singapore and Hong Kong. We have students in everywhere else. You know, Canada, obviously, USA, obviously, Australia,
Europe, all through Europe.
Yeah, you know, we have. But think about some of these countries like Botswana, Nigeria, where we have students. They teach these practical life skills. You know, learn to believe in yourself. You're perfect just the way you are. Stand tall. You can do anything you want. Just believe in yourself. And of course, we give the ways to do that, too. Take responsibility for your actions. Don't try to control people. You know, if this world would just do one thing, stop giving unsolicited advice and stop trying to control other people, you know, marriages would be better. The whole world would be better. You know, people wouldn't be saying, you know, my God's better than your God, so you must die because my God said so. You know, they wouldn't be trying to control the world. If married partners or just partners in general would stop telling each other what they need to be doing, and that is giving unsolicited advice, if they would just stop doing that, the whole world would improve. And yet people have such a hard time. Well, I'm doing this for your own good. You need to stop smoking because it's killing you. You know, you need to stop this, do that. Well, you know, I'm doing it because I care, because I love you. Well, you know what? I call that the dark side of doing right, because while the person's intentions may be noble, the fact is that they're encroaching on boundaries. They're violating self-responsibility. They are, in fact, trying to assume responsibility for another adult, which is a violation of their human rights. We cannot assume responsibility for another adult. So here's all these great principles that need to be spread out into the world.
What I appreciate most is nowhere throughout MCHS or IMHS is there any indication of fear-mongering. Like, if you don't do this, you're going to be punished. If you don't do this, you know, it's there is none of that. It's just telling you like it is. It's the real deal. It's that in your face, who are you? Look at yourself. Is that a good way to behave? If you have the right to think, so does somebody else. If you have the right to decide, so does somebody else. And it just makes that awareness, like that light bulb, go on without inciting fear. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, and that's another reason why I've always made it a point. I don't want to just rag on religion. That's not really my goal. That does no good. What I do want to do is share a much healthier spiritual philosophy, and that happens to be one that doesn't tell you you're going to die. You know, if you don't do what he says, you're going to go to hell, burn in hell. I came out of Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, I lost everybody I ever knew. They won't talk to me. Why? Because I went back to the vomit, you know, as the Bible said. And I'd never been in it before. I mean, I was raised when I was born into it. And yet, I'm the worst of the worst now because I'm what they call an apostate. I have started my own religion. Boy, they think I've gone off the deep end. They really do. I'm not kidding you. They won't talk to me, you know, and that's fine. It's been this way for 16 years. I love who I am. I love where I'm going. You know, the problem is that I will accept them, but they will not accept me. And there's the emotional blackmail. You either believe like we do, or we'll have nothing to do with you. Fair enough. You know, because I will not sacrifice my soul for anyone. I don't care who you are. I literally don't care who you are. You can be my mother, my brother, my sister, who I love. But I'll probably never see them again, and I haven't talked to them in 16 years. It's unfortunate. We were close.
You know, the beauty of this, Doug, is that the touchstone is to do no harm, do right. Mm-hmm. So no matter how we're challenged in life, it's do no harm. Okay, well, maybe it's a good thing to share an idea. Maybe it's a good thing to have a discussion and, you know, throw out some advice. And mm-hmm. and yet that do the right thing, well, okay, I can throw this out. It's the manner in which we do this. It's not like, oh, you have to do this because it's better for you. It's more about that exchange of ideas to say, you know, I learned about this, I read something, it's an interesting thing, so that we plant seeds for people to make their own decisions right. about their life. The problem here is that there's a sacrifice. Each one of us does. And that's not a fear thing, by the way, folks. That's just real life. Because there's going to be people who don't like you. And then there's, of course, and this is all within the life leadership paragon, that we don't want, it's very hard to step in what you know is right because there's secondary gains. You know, it's we don't want to give up the people we love because, you know, and so that's what we do to ourselves. It's not what anybody else does to us. And that's a really important distinction. If I don't want to stand more in who I am and stand in that, it's because I don't want to give up these people or those things. And
right. Well, secondary gains. And that's exactly why people stay in relationships. It's why they stay in religions, because, and that's why I did. It's why I stayed in an alcoholic marriage for 18 years. It was killing my son and me because of secondary gains, because of them esteem. I mean, where else are you going to hear about them esteem? Nowhere. You know, where else are you going to learn about the life leadership paragon? Nowhere. These are truly unique concepts that are not taught anywhere else, and they're powerful. They're elegant. The life leadership paragon is an elegant model. It is simple to understand. It is teachable. And if you're, you know, a spiritual counselor, our life leadership coaching, which is based on the life leadership paragon, wow. It becomes unbelievably powerful and simple and effective. I mean, we have so much going for us. We just got to get the word out, and we have to let people know there is a much healthier alternative, one that is positive, one that is part of the solution, not part of the problem, one that accepts people for who you are. I don't care whether you're blue, black, green, purple, straight, gay, up, down. I don't care. You know, we're human beings. We're star stuff. And that's scientific. That's literally true. We are made from the stuff of stars. So who has the right to impose their religious views or their, you know, tell us how we should run our life based on their paradigms, based on their philosophy? We're all free to do that. We have free will. We can be who we want. Do whatever you want. I don't care. Just do no harm. Do right. Because do right completes do no harm. You know, you could be walking by an alley at night sometime and somebody's getting beaten up or attacked in some way. Well, you keep on going. You've done no harm, but you haven't done right either. You know, so there's a zillion examples like that. Do right. Step it up a notch. Open the door. Let somebody in, you know, in front of you in out on the road, don't get road rage. Understand one thing, folks, and this is a lesson I'm learning and have come a long way with. Those crazy drivers out there, those people that irk you, the people that drive you nuts, they're doing the best they can with the knowledge, experience, awareness, and resources that they have right here, right now, at this very moment. Most people don't stay up at night scheming how they can screw other people. Just doesn't happen. There's always the odd case, yes, I know. But most people are just so wrapped up in trying to eke out an existence that they have forgotten how to live. We got to remember how to live, and that is doing no harm, but doing right, doing something for people, because that gets us outside of ourselves. It helps us to stop taking ourselves too seriously. And that's something that we all could use. Stop taking yourself so seriously, because it's not all about you. And it's not all about me. It's about us.
You know, I'd like to go back for a moment, Doug, to something that you said that some of our new listeners may not be familiar with, the term them esteem. You know, we all know the word, you know, the term self-esteem. Them esteem, as coined by Dr. Kelly and his wife Tracy, is if I need you to approve of me, that is them esteem. Mm-hmm. If I need your, not just approval, but your permission and, you know, your acknowledgement, that's them esteem. It's a brilliant term. Brilliant, because it's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Self-esteem is how I regard myself, right, and how I know myself to be true and to check in with myself. You know, Dan wrote something in the chat here, Doug, I'd like to share,
mm-hmm,
about we as graduate students and members of MCHS and IMHS need to continue the love we feel here, elsewhere throughout our lives and all relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing, and thanks for writing that down, Dan. You and I had a conversation the other day, Doug, about the word love. And
yeah,
love, as you have intentionally done, is not written throughout the MCHS literature or the IMHS programming, but for a very particular reason. That, as I understand it to be, is when you act it, you don't need to claim it.
Right.
And this is a really important, I think, ingredient to mention here.
And that's a good point to bring up. And by the way, folks, I just extended the show to 60 minutes. If you can't stay with us, that's fine. Maybe you can pick up the archive later on. But when we get talking, I don't mind extending it. As far as the word love, you know, I hear a lot of people say, oh, you got to just love each other. Well, you know, I've been kind of saying that through this whole program. I just haven't used that terminology. You got to have love for each other. And it's true. We do have to have love for each other. But love is not in and of itself the only part of the answer here. You know, people talk about this funny thing called unconditional love, which honestly doesn't exist. Maybe we'll discuss that on a future show. But you know, everything we're doing here is an act of love, but there's more to it. We got to keep our feet on the ground, which is a trademark of MCHS Church. We're not out on the fringe. We're not going to tell you all these fringy, goofy things that are going around the metaphysical circles. What we want you to do is have a successful life with your feet on the ground. You want to believe in something? Fair enough. I don't care. Just make sure it's reasonable and you can defend it to a reasonable degree. Make sure you have some kind of compelling basis for that belief. You want to believe that there are, you know, 7 or 9 levels of enlightenment until you get to go be with God? Fine. Make sure you have some kind of compelling basis for that. And good luck on that one. But you
well,
get
and it,
the idea.
It may be true. You know,
it
what?
May,
it
be,
may
true.
Be true.
It might be true. But we can't pull things out of a dark place just because they sound good. And that's what a lot of people do. Well, it makes sense to me. You know, and well, fair enough, whatever you want. But what we're trying to teach here is grounded, practical skills that make your life better. And that's what we're teaching. Do we believe in life after death? Yes. Do we know what it's all about? No. You know, we don't have all the answers, but I do know one thing for sure, that the answer is not up in the sky. The answer is in each one of us. It's like I have on the website, you know, we go through our life looking for God in all the wrong places. We need to try looking within. And I'm not saying that there's some being named God or called God who's the creator. I don't know if there's a creator. I couldn't tell you. I don't know. Nobody does. Nobody can prove it. You know, creation would suggest something, but that's a different story. But look within you. It could have been
an alien, Doug.
And we could be an alien project for all I know. Point is, all I know is right here and right now, people need better, happier lives. They need to look within, depend on themselves. And if you don't know something or how to do something, at least have the wherewithal, the awareness to say, gee, you know, I just don't know how to do this. I know my relationship needs to improve, but I'm not quite sure how. Because that is the beginning of learning how to do it. And then you go do your research. You know, you go out and you look and you start thinking about it. What can I do for this relationship? How can I improve it? What do I need to improve about me that will help this relationship? Maybe I should stop telling my significant other what they ought to be doing. You know, be nitpicky. I think you should do this. I don't think you should do that. I don't like it when you do this. I don't like it when you do that. You know, either accept them for who they are without complaining, or don't be in a relationship with them. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
You know, you mentioned a key term in there. I don't know. And this is really important, I think, to be able to say, I don't know. And there's, you see, people don't like to think they don't know.
Right, because it's a self-esteem issue.
Yeah, or a competitive issue. And, you know, it's like, if they know that I don't know, then I can't get this, I can't get that. You know, the most brilliant doctor I ever had would say, I don't know. I remember years ago, I took my oldest daughter in with a rash, and we went through all the usual questions about soap and allergy stuff. And he looked at me, he goes, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, fair enough. He said, you know, it might just go away as mysteriously as it came. The body is a strange thing. We just don't know. And what a relief that was to be in a place of, I don't know. And what he would also do, though, I might add, is he would investigate. He was a brilliant doctor to, you know, read up on something, you know, check the medical journals. What's the recent thing? Because he was also curious. And I think that's a really important point to acknowledge here. MCHS is curious and it's interested. And the people who are affiliated here are for curious, interested people. So to say I don't know is a good thing. And to make, you know, statements, it may be a good thing that you think are true, but add the disclaimer that maybe I don't know. And that's okay, because that's also about self-esteem. I'm okay to not know stuff. Mm-hmm. I really am. I life's a mystery. Somebody says, what's the meaning of life? I don't know. It's
well,
a mystery.
That one I can answer.
What?
The meaning of life.
What's the meaning of life, Doug?
That's the wrong question to ask.
Oh.
That's what.
What's the meaning of my life?
That's exactly right. The better question is, what's the meaning of my life? And so, but the point you make is well taken. We can say we don't know because we don't know everything. The thing is the about MCHS is that it is born of honesty, of integrity, I'm a WYSIWYG type of guy. That means what you see is what you get. You know, there are no ulterior motives. I want to leave the woodpile higher than I found it. I'm looking for people who share the same vision, who want to join this ride and who want to go out and make a difference. And that's it. You know, I've done a lot of things. I've done a lot of things in my life, and I've had people who join for a while and they're gone. That's fine too. I've had people join and they don't like the direction I'm going, which is always forward, by the way. And they go do their own thing. Fair enough. I don't care. I only have one thing. I am moving forward with or without anyone. I am making this happen because that is my dream, my vision, my objective, my purpose that I have adopted. And that's a good example for everybody. You got a dream, a purpose, go for it. You know, I'm making it happen. Have the same attitude. How hard can it be? If you want something, seize it. Go after it. Is it going to always be easy? No, not at all. In fact, doing the church and the school hasn't been easy, you know, per se. There's been a ton of things to it, a zillion, more than you'd ever know. I mean, I spent thousands of hours doing websites, doing courses, grading, obviously, and Dr. Hunter does too. But there's so many of these things, making sure that you're doing the right job, doing the right thing, making sure your policies are there. All the different things that go into this is amazing. It's been a great ride, and it will continue to be. It's been interesting. I've learned a lot, and I still learn from my students. One of the greatest things, though, to come of this whole thing I'm doing here, is that it's kind of restored my faith in humanity, really. Because never have I seen so many people come out of the woodwork who have similar goals, who want to make a difference in the world, who want to help others in the ways perhaps of spiritual counseling or hypnosis or life coaching or holistic healing. They want to be of service to others. And they are genuine and they are sincere. And it's been heartwarming. It's been enlightening and upbuilding. And I mean, like I've said so many times before, I have brilliant students, you know. I mean, take Dr. Danny Jablonski, who's listening to this program right now, you know, started his own health school, you know, in church. And Danny, put your link in the chat room there. You know,
Pacific Western, by the way. Anybody's interested, Pacific Western, you know, Wellness Institute.
That's what I'm wanting to do. I want to teach these students who take this message now and share it with those within their sphere of influence so that the message travels, so that our children and our children's children can have a better a world. But we have great students. We have brilliant students. We have wonderful students. And that's going to continue on. I mean, IMHS is the school is it's been growing quite well, and will continue to. And we need to continue growing the entire organization.
You know, I might just say to people who are new to MCHS and IMHS, and you know you're investigating because you're curious and you would like to know more. There's always going to be people in your life who are going to say, oh, it's one of those flaky things. Or, are you sure that's not like, you know, new age stuff? And there's always going to be somebody contrary. And usually it's because it threatens their belief system. And I want to make that very, very clear. When we enter into new areas and exploring, it can be a big threat to people because they stand to lose something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're back to that secondary gain. So when you want to step forward and you want to grow and you want to learn, you want to investigate and so on, there's always going to be somebody who's going to say, well, I think that's good for you, but how does that affect me? So keep that in mind. You know, I'm just saying, sharing this with our listeners and our audience, that keep it in mind that when you want to explore, Dr. Kelly said something a little while ago, I don't need your permission. And you remember that. You know, as you're doing some reading and you go on websites and you climb all over the internet, you don't need somebody else's permission to be an open, growing mind.
Yeah.
To consider new avenues for thought. And it because it's minimizing, when you hold yourself back, you are being, actually, there's so many words I can conjure up right now. But
well,
it's the greatest disservice to the self at the highest level.
Let's expand that. You don't need permission to be who you are. Be whoever you want to be. It's your path. That's the whole point. Folks, it is your path. Nobody else can walk it. Nobody else knows how it is to walk your path. Because they're not you. Only you know how it is to walk your path. Only you can walk in your shoes. You know, nobody else can. And so those people who may ridicule you, who may put you down, who may think poorly of you, it does not matter. You know, what you think of me is none of my business. And this is one thing that a lot of people have a real hard time wrapping their brains around. You know, and I'll just give you, use myself as an example. We're going to talk about that, too, I think next week. You know, I don't have anybody hired to swear by, so I'll swear by myself. Sometimes I swear too, but this is not confession. So here's the deal. You know, if people want to disagree with me, that's perfectly fine. I can't begin to tell you how much I don't care whether people agree with me or not. All I know is I have a mission, I have a direction, and I'm moving forward, and I'm making a difference, a positive difference. I am doing nobody any harm, trying to do right. And just because somebody may not agree with me that they think that they're perfect, I don't care. You know, all I'm doing is my thing. And I welcome anybody and invite anybody to come along and share in this vision and be part of this in some way. And if you want to be a real big part of it and you're not already enrolled in the degree program, that's a great start because you're going to learn all this stuff. And it's no cakewalk. You know, it's not rocket science either, but it's not a cakewalk. It's not just a diploma mill. I don't do those things. You know, you're going to learn something. It's going to change your life. go to metaphysicsinstitute.org. And if you just want to take a standalone course, go to ichsworld.org. You can take standalone courses there. You want to take the Life Leadership Paragon course, it's at ichsworld.org. Look in the course descriptions, you'll find it. But do what you need to do. Walk your path. Don't wait till the end of your life and have a bad case of the woulda, coulda, shoulda, the if-onlys, and the might-have-beens. You don't want to look back on your life and have that problem, say, oh man, you know all that, how I got so worked up because nobody liked me, or nobody, everybody thought I was doing this or that, or, you know, I thought this was such a huge deal and it pales in comparison now that I'm on my deathbed and I wasted all those years. Don't waste any more time. Be who you are, stand up tall, be proud of yourself, and continue to grow, grow in your awareness. Go out, do no harm, but do right. Look for opportunities. Step it up a notch. Go do something nice for somebody tomorrow. You know, they call it random acts of kindness. That's all this is. Pay it forward. You know, go do a nice for somebody. Be that kind of a person.
You know, even if it, you've said this, Doug, even if it's opening the door for somebody.
Yes.
It so reminds me of that story I've told it before, but it's my favorite one. It's a true story. I was walking down a street, was heading for a coffee shop, and this young mom comes out with her, you know, the stroller with the baby in it, and this little boy next to her, he's about 4 years old, and she starts to tell him, you should hold the door open when I'm trying to go through. Always hold the door open for people. Now, he's looking at her, and I'm just coming right up, and I've heard this, seen it, and he says, Mommy, is that something we should teach Daddy too?
Yes.
Now, think about the lessons in that, everyone. It's to be the example. Live as the example, as you expect of others, and what you would like to see in others. You know, those little kindnesses. You know, I'm very sure that my friend Manu is listening, and she sent me a book and a little gift card to go get a bottle of wine. It came right out of the blue, random act of kindness. She, you know, she's such a dear friend. Since I've moved, you know, to another province up here, we don't get to see each other anymore, but we make a point of talking. And then this wonderful little gift. I mean, that's a friend, you know, and I hope I am in some way, you know, similar and, you know, giving back that kindness to her, but we also are passing it on. So it's those little things that bind us.
Mm-hmm.
That helps us to remember that we're all in this together. None of us is going anywhere without the other.
That's right. So, you know, we talked about a lot of stuff in this past hour, and we appreciate those who hung with us on this and or listening to the archive. We appreciate you. We know you have, you know, your plights, your challenges, your victories, your defeats. We all have those things. But keep strong. You know, keep. Just keep positive. Keep looking. This too shall pass. I mean, my dad always said that, and he was right. It always will.
But the wine to a minimum.
Yeah, and keep looking forward. Change what needs to be changed. Grow where you need to grow. Don't fight it. Don't try to you know, feel better about yourself. Well, I don't need to do that. You know, yeah, working on yourself is tough. It's hard. Yeah, we know. That's what we do. But that's what we are expected to do as human beings. We are powerful, but we have to utilize that power. Now, before we let you go completely, I just want to remind our IMHS students that we've got our first semi-annual online graduation coming up here on May 3rd, Saturday, 9 p.m. UTC, Greenwich Mean Time. And I want to remind you, if you haven't already registered, if you're a graduate, if you have a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, you can graduate at this graduation. We'll do the next one in December, but this first one's here May 3rd, Saturday, 9 p.m. UTC. Go in the Student Center and click on the details page, and you'll find where you can register. It takes you less than a minute, and I would love to see more students register for that. Now, you only need to register if you're going to graduate. If you're just going to attend and support the other graduates, you don't need to register, and the link is there.
We just need to know whose name to call.
And we're not, if you've graduated, or, you know, your bachelor's, master's, doctoral, and you haven't registered, we're not going to read your name because we don't want to, you know, invade your privacy. So if you want to be mentioned and honored there, then please go register. And And, you know, it's important to us, too. It's important to you, and it should be. It's a great accomplishment. It's an important thing for us, too, because it's our first one, too. So, the whole
sermon
will be about 60 to 90 minutes. Yes, it has. We're running out of time. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Thanks again. Good night.
Good night.